with the current process, trying to highlight some of the best practices and making recommendations for improving the process. So through this exercise, we did work on trying to develop a common understanding of the major challenges, sharing practices across PDTs and organizations, and trying to recommend improvements and agreeing on next steps. The membership was staff from the council, the regional office, and the science center. So this was really sort of across the three agencies to try to enhance the coordination. This is not working.
Can you flip it for me?
Okay. In terms of the desired outcomes, we did hope that this would lead to a more efficient process to ensure that our documents are completed, reviewed, and implemented on time. We're hoping to lower some of the frustration among the staff of all three of the agencies, improve the sense of collaboration across the organizations as well as within NIMS, and to address the commitment and accountability from the key players in the process. We wanted to definitely focus on more efficient use of staff time and resources, and reducing the crunch that we tend to feel at the end of the FMP development process.
So you can find the Tiger Team report in your binder at tab 1. I think it's about halfway through. It includes one of the appendices, Appendix D. The report focuses on the major challenges that we identified through our process, and that includes specifically the council process development through implementation. The participants, who needs to be involved in the process from start to finish, the priorities that the council looks at when they develop actions for different fisheries, and then finally the data systems, the sources and availability of data as we go through the development of an action. The appendices include a whole bunch of information. Probably the most relevant, again, is Appendix D. But it does include a calendar, an action timeline, this process document, which is Appendix D. It clarifies constraints and regulations, national standards, what applicable laws we have to look at when we develop actions. An updated action plan. This is kind of a focus that we're looking at in this action of for each action that we have, developing action plans that specifically guide us through the development of actions. And then finally, a pilot concision process, which is each time we develop an action, looking at ways that we can cut down on the volume of information and the sometimes unnecessary information that we put into documents, but have done so just as a matter of completeness. The major challenges that we identified, as I mentioned in the previous slide, were the process, how we get from start to finish, meaning when we initiate an action to when we implement the action. There have been some issues with inconsistency and certainly insufficient time frames to try to get through the actions. Different FMPs and different actions seem to have different standards, and the challenge we identified was trying to kind of even the playing field and make things consistent, understanding that each action is different, each staff is different, and there are still going to be differences in the development. A big issue is the essential players, making sure that when we initiate an action, we know who should be involved, what the responsibility of each person involved in the development of the action is, so that we can get the right input at the right time. The third issue on here, the Tiger Team talked about this. We recognize that the council has priorities. The council has things that it needs to work on and do. But the additional actions, the overcommitment to management actions, is driving a lot of inefficiency. It takes away the ability to work effectively and constructively on a lot of different projects at the same time. And finally, the data and system constraints. Oftentimes, we are looking for data too late in the process, and it's a cram to try to get that information into the process. So we recognize the need to identify data and system constraints, try to make sure that the data is available early in the process, that we know the systems that are available that the data provide.
Okay, so as Pete mentioned, we categorized the challenges that we identified into four categories and then tried to address each of them separately with a series of recommendations. And just very briefly, in terms of the process, the challenges with the process being inconsistent and constrained by insufficient time frames. Some of the recommendations include finalizing and institutionalizing an action plan template, which is one of the appendices. There is hope that would provide a consistent approach for establishing and communicating roles and responsibilities early on in terms of workloads to get documents completed. There's a recommendation to identify and formalize what we're calling an implementation team. This would be a group at the regional office level that would run sort of in parallel with a plan development team at the regional office level. Implementation team's a little bit of a misnomer. It's not something that would happen at the end. This would be something that would start at the beginning of the process, looking down the road at potential issues related to implementation and trying to identify those issues early on. The concision exercise, if that's a word, if not, we're making it up now. The concision exercise is part of this, and we're hoping that through the concision we can reduce some of the workload associated with our documents and also start bringing forward more consistent documents. And then I think another big one that we recommend here is to document and agree on the standard process and timeline for reviews. This is, I think, really encapsulated in Appendix D, which is very important for I think, everybody to be clear on in terms of process.
Mm-hmm. So with the participation recommendations, the key item that we looked at with the Tiger team was to establish a more formal project management role within the regional office. It's not much different than what we have right now. Typically, a staff in the Sustainable Fisheries Division will sort of oversee a project from start to finish. The idea here was to give that more formality and to try to get some accountability through more formal project management from start to finish. The second bullet here, I think we would rather have removed, but the Tiger team did originally recommend a process by which there'd be a sign-off on commitments and what different groups would expect to do. I believe that was not ultimately accepted by leadership, so that's I think it's in the report, but it's not something that's ultimately going to occur through this. There's also a discussion, this kind of merged with another process that the leadership was working on, the development of an op core. I'm not sure now, I can't remember what exactly that stands for, but what it is a group of the deputies that essentially oversees the project above the project manager level. The project manager or participants could go to the op core and explain that the process is in development, is stalled out, or needs a little kick in the seat, or whatever it might need. And the op core can can take action to try to get things back on track more formally. Another issue we looked at and one of our recommendations is to more completely involve protected resources staff. This has been a long-term issue that we've kind of gone back and forth on. The protected species, the protected resources division has a complicated role in this process. They are the consulting agency with respect to internal development of actions. And so they can't directly make the recommendations. They can't really participate in development of some of the actions, but we do need them to participate, provide input, provide information. And these two bullets, it was to address that we need a protected resources staff on each PDT to guide the issues with respect to protected resources, and then also assign a council staff member to facilitate the development of protected species issues within an action.
Okay, regarding the challenges associated with priorities, prioritization of management actions, and just the general overcommitment I think we all feel to a host of management actions going on at any given time. The recommendations, again, are focused on, I think, really just being realistic about timelines and resources and being clear about expectations. So a lot of the recommendations relate to prioritizing management actions. Prioritize the statutory requirements first and then consider the discretionary actions or things that relate to the discretionary provisions of the Magnuson Act. Avoid including an excessive number of alternatives that go beyond a reasonable range that may be required by NEPA. Focus on objectives and avoid what are called side projects, but these are really sort of add-on management actions that tend to kind of work their way into the process as we're moving through some of our larger actions. When prioritizing, agree to what must be put on hold and consider the long-term implications of actions. Again, I think a lot of this relates to everybody being on the same page about how long actions take to develop and implement. And I think if we all have a much more shared and consistent understanding of what the realities of that are, it will help to streamline some of the workload that goes into the suite of management actions that the council considers every year.
And the fourth issue with data systems recommendations, I touched on it a little bit earlier, but the idea here is to include staff. It's very consistent with the rest of our recommendations that staff from the Science Center, staff from our own analytical division be included early, that we understand what the data they can provide are throughout the process. We want to make sure that we conduct requirements gathering analysis for actions earlier, limit the scope of the action and the data to ensure a reasonable implementation timeline, and then finally clearly communicate the progress on the data system improvement projects. We have a couple ongoing, I think, right now. And certainly the development of actions and the use of the data through those is going to be improved if we know how well that data is going to be able to be incorporated and when those improvements will be available to incorporate the data.
Okay, so that's a really quick overview of the recommendations. If you look at the report, there's a lot of recommendations and best practices to try to address each of these challenges. Just a few takeaway points, and I probably keep emphasizing this, but for me this was really the biggest takeaway out of this exercise, and that is that we need to be realistic about our timelines. Realistic timelines need to be established and communicated, and buy-in must be made up front by all parties. That includes the council members and all three staffs within the three organizations. To realize our desired objectives, it's critical that we commit to the agreed-upon process and follow through with the agreements. Formalizing milestones is helpful, and I think that that's a lot of what we tried to do. We tried to identify some clear milestones so that we can start having any diversions from this process be the exception and not the norm. And ultimately, we need to just try to be more collaborative and focus on collective objectives to try to deal with some issues, some long-standing issues within staffs with territoriality and other issues. Ultimately, all three of the agencies are working on the same objectives and trying to achieve the same outcomes. So it's important to try to collaborate together, and hopefully this process has brought all three organizations closer to that. So it was, I think, an excellent exercise. A lot of work went into it, and the folks that were involved in it certainly, I think, got a lot out of it. We did present this to the NRCC and to the leadership, and I'm going to go ahead and just turn it back to Tom to let him talk about where this went after the report was generated.
Yeah, thank you, Lori and Pete. Before we go to questions, we're going to go to Tom and John and Bill.
So the first thing I'd like to do is thank not just Lori and Pete, but everybody who was on the Tiger team. I was actually on the Tiger team for a little while at the start, but then got booted off, and sort of. And they did a lot of work over the course of about 6 or 8 months last year. They met several times. They had some lively discussions, from what I understand. They wore these cute orange shirts every time they went to a Tiger team meeting. And, it was very helpful, and I think they really put a concerted effort, and they put together a great document, and I recommend you take a look at it. They briefed all of us on the leadership. We met, I think, in February, and we adopted or agreed to incorporate most, if not almost all, of their recommendations. There were a few that we didn't agree with that we thought in some cases were overly bureaucratic or not necessary, so we dropped them. And we are starting to incorporate those in how we act. I don't know if you've noticed in your council mailings, for example, but you've probably started to see some letters show up going back and forth between the regional office and the council on preliminary review of management plans, and please make these changes. We made those changes. We don't agree with making these changes. This is in part a recommendation of the Tiger team to have a more formal process for reviewing the documents so we can tell what changes are being made as we submit. You're going to start seeing action plans show up at council meetings in the binders. Some of the PDTs have already been using them. Scallops has been using them for a while, but you're going to see all the PDTs start to use these action plans, which try and lay out timelines so that you and the public have a better idea of when decision points are and what's being planned and what's being incorporated in the document. Now, a lot of this stuff, frankly, is the stuff that typically makes people's eyes glaze over because most of it's very boring. A lot of it happens behind the scenes. It's really what's going on between the staffs. It's what we live for. Hopefully you'll never see it. But I think you'll see some improvements. But I think there are a couple things that you should really pay attention to in the report. And if it sounds like we're beating a dead horse, it's because we are. The first is the section on priorities. I think you should really read that section on, I think it's section 3 in the report, where the members of the team talk about how disruptive it can be when priorities are changed, when side projects are added and things get diverted, or when the council kicks the can down the road and doesn't make decisions according to the timeline they plan, but they still expect that the final decision will be made on the same date. That's one thing that you should look at. The other thing I think it would pay to look at, and I'll ask John and Bill and George perhaps to talk about this a little more, is just how long it actually takes to get things done after a council vote. It was somewhat eye-opening at least to me and I think to some members of the Tiger team, when they actually sat down and drew out the different steps of the process and figured out how long each of those steps of the process take, and you realize just how involved it is just to work something through all the bureaucratic steps that have to be taken. And so when you make unanticipated changes and squeeze that timeline, I think it starts to make it unmanageable, and things don't get done correctly. And this is when we start to make mistakes. But we are committed to this. We're going to incorporate this into our long, festering operating agreement that we're working on with the agency and with the Science Center. That kind of summarizes my comments. I think John and Bill and George may want to add a few.
I'll start by repeating Tom's thanks to members of the staff who served on the Tiger team. This is an awful lot of work, and it is the sausage making of plan development. We all gather a few times a year, and the staffs are there every single day, kind of meshing like gears. You know, I get into my car, I turn the key, I just want the car to go. You lift up the hood, the gears have to mesh. The staff are the gears that have to mesh every single time. We want the car to go faster. That means the gears have to mesh faster. When they have to mesh faster, they generate heat. And they have to mesh every single day. And so it's very important that this Tiger team is bottom-up, the people who are meshing or not meshing on a day-to-day basis, figuring out where's the mesh, what's generating heat, and where's the friction, and how do we remove the friction? Because we, all of us, collective we, in the council, the mid Council, the Science Center, the GARFO leadership, council leadership are putting more pressure, which generates heat on the staff, and so there has to be efficiency, and the Tiger team is figuring out where's that efficiency going to come from the procedures necessary to write these plans. And so I thank the staff for going through detail by detail of this sausage making. And I hear, did you say realistic expectations once or twice? I think I heard that in the joint presentation. So that's one of the messages. I think that the pressure that we're applying is not going to decrease for a couple of reasons. One, those of us who were at the climate change workshop heard that one of the impacts of climate change on fishery management is going to be the need to make adjustments quicker and quicker and quicker. So despite the plea for realistic expectations and despite the information that is in this report that all these plans take a long time and that we need to be aware of that, one of the conclusions of the climate change workshop is that we're going to have to make adjustments more quickly. And so I think when we digest this, when we have this in place, when we've taken a deep breath, you know, a 15-minute congratulation when we sign the operating agreement, which I hope we will do by the end of the month as a gift to George on his way out, that this Tiger team work is memorialized in an operating agreement where we commit to this and we take you know, a day or two to say all this work is done, and we think about, okay, now that we've figured out how we're efficient at the status quo, that we start exploring the word that Lori invented, or the Tiger Team invented, concision. You know, how do we actually shorten this? How do we make this process shorter and better? Because we may need to have to figure out how to do that. And so as the Tiger Team has figured out how to make the existing status quo as efficient as possible and gotten to know it as well as it can be known, that perhaps the next step is to say, are there ways, now that we can make it really efficient, to what's the verb form of concision? Whatever it is, that may be the next step. But I congratulate you for the work today, and I look forward to putting my name alongside Tom and Bill's and Logan. And Logan's, he's got to be on this agreement, too. So get your reading glasses, right, Logan? Okay. All right. Bill, you're up.
Well, thanks, Laurie and Pete, for sharing all of this with everybody here. It represents a huge amount of work, as John and Tom have said, by a number of people from the council and the regional office and the science center. And I also think it's a very important document, and it's going to ultimately make our lives easier and solve a lot of the process-related problems that we have. To follow on John's analogy, I think we're looking for more light and less heat, and so hopefully this is going to lead us in that direction, and I'm actually confident that it will. For me, as a newbie in the region still, I'm learning a lot, and as I tracked this process and read the documents and spoke to our folks, I learned more and more about, you know, the daily interactions that we have, how well we work together, and where we do have friction, and where there are problems that we need to solve. And I believe that the plans that we have now, that the work of the Tiger Team, and then ultimately and very soon the joint operating agreement are going to lead to significant improvements. I agree with John that the demands are unlikely to be decreased, and that puts even more pressure on us to be more efficient. From the Science Center's side, I think we have some unique problems or issues, maybe it's better to say challenges, and that is we walk a fine line between the resources that we need to commit and that we will continue to commit to support the management and regulatory process and the resources that we absolutely need to continue to commit to invest in science and improving the science, because we have both of those responsibilities, and of course they connect together. And it is very, very challenging to maintain and build on the science that we're doing and do the best that we can to make sure that the regulatory process and the demands of this process don't compromise our ability to do the science that we need to do. I think this will help, because it's going to make things clearer, it's going to make things more efficient, but it's not going to completely alleviate that challenge. And as John says, that, you know, the need for more and better science, particularly during now and into the future, as we're recognizing what the consequences of climate change are on the resources that we're responsible for managing, is only increasing. So that's another part of the particular challenge that the Science Center has, but which is, I think, really a shared challenge among all of us. I also think it's very important to recognize that our responsiveness needs to be balanced in terms of supporting the needs and interests and requirements in New England as well as in the Mid-Atlantic. And so that's another collective challenge that we have. But again, I think we're making some very strong steps forward. And certainly I and the Science Center are committed to engaging in this process that you've worked so hard to construct for us.
Well, thank you, Tom and John and Bill. I mean, this is certainly has been a work long in progress. It's not an action item, so if there are any burning questions, why don't you take them? You have a burning question, Dave? My suggestion is, because we're running quite far behind, would be to take them up with Tom during the break. And with that, we'll segue into the Observer Program funding resources.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to introduce the topic, and then Wendy is going to speak on the first item here, and then Doug on the second. So if I may. Council will recall that earlier this year, we had intended to bring forward the SBRM amendment for council review and consideration and hopefully a vote. And we had decided, with the support of the council leadership, to step back,